If you will, take your Bible, open to 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to focus our attention today on our calling. We are called to glory. We are called to glory. And there's a twofold sense of that. Not only are we called to the eternal glory of what God has provided for us according to His promise. Heaven is really real because Jesus said it was. And He told us that it'd be a land where there'd be no more death, no more tears. They'd all be wiped away, and no sorrow, no suffering. All of it'd be gone. And God promised us that we'd have new bodies built and designed for eternal living. Never see corruption ever again. That's God's promise to us. And that's what He offers to men who will come to Him and turn from their sins and allow Jesus Christ to wash them in that precious blood. For it's the blood alone, listen, that can cleanse a man from his sin. And so we know that we are called to glory in that sense. But secondly, we are called to glory in the sense that God is molding, shaping, and conforming our life to the image of Christ. And the fact that He is doing a work in our lives, transforming us, taking us from sinners to saints, and listen, taking us from enemies of God to become His own sons, that we might reflect the glory of Christ in our life. And so when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus begins, listen, the great work of living His life in you. And so we are called to glory. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. The Bible reads, "For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." Let's pray. Father, we do pray now for the leadership of the Spirit of God as we enter to worship and as we open the Word of Life. We pray that You might feed us accordingly to our need today. We pray for those, Lord, who are gathered here as Your children. And Lord, we come with various needs today. You know our hearts. You love us. You know the number of hairs upon our head. You know our need today. And I pray that, God, You might meet that need for those who look by faith and call out unto Thee. God, I pray for those that may be assembling with us today who've never trusted Christ as their Savior. We pray that they might hear that still small voice within them of God calling them, making it personal and real, that, Lord, You desire for them to be saved this day. And I pray that they might come and call upon the Savior and be born again. Lord, would You bless us and help us now? We'll look to You in faith, trusting You and thanking You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We find in the context here of chapter 2, we look back and we find that God has called the believer to show forth the praises of Him. You and I are called of God to show the excellencies of Christ, that we are to tell others why it is that we have hope, why our life has been changed, why, listen, we have assurance and confidence, why we walk a different path than we did, and we all testify that Jesus is the reason. And not only with the words of our mouth, but our life demonstrates that something happened to me. That I was changed, And this change was not something that I wrought, not something I worked for. It was not simply my determination. But when I called upon Christ, things were made different. And God began to awaken me and show me of a better life and a new life. And therefore, I testify, you show forth the praises of Him, not only by the words that you live, but by the way that you live. And so we have this calling as a believer. That's what God has called you to do. That's what God wants you. Many times we struggle over what is the will of God. But if we'll get the first thing first, the rest of it fall into place. One thing I know is the will of God for every person here is that every person be saved. The second thing I know is that every saved person, God has called you to show forth His praises. He's called you to reveal the excellencies of Jesus Christ, as I said, both with word and with the way that we live. Now, understanding that, we testify, as it says in verse number 10, that we are the people of God. That by putting faith in Christ, that we were born into God's family. And that, listen, this great event of salvation, this great experience, listen, we are now identified with God. We are one of His. And listen, He has come to dwell with us and in us. And so we testify that we are the people of God. I don't mind telling people, I am not proud, I am not boastful, but I don't mind telling people that I know the Lord. I know the Creator, I know the Savior. I know the He that sits upon the throne. I know He who has life and death in His hands, has the keys of hell and death. I know Him, and listen, He is my dear friend. He's my Lord, my Savior, my Master, and God of all creation is my Heavenly Father. I know that. I know it today. You might call me a fool, a daydreamer, but you'll never convince me otherwise. I know Him. And listen, I thank God that I do know Him, and I give Him all the glory. I did not seek Him. He sought after me. Now, we testify, listen, that we're the people of God, and we manifest this principle by submission to the will of God. Look at verse 15. He says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And so, listen, we manifest the glories, the praises, the excellencies of Christ by principle. That is, we are submitted to the will of God. I want what God wants, and God has wrought that in my heart. Before I got saved, I didn't want to do anything God wanted me to do. But now that He has saved me, I want to do what He wants me to do. Do I do it perfectly? No. Am I still learning, still growing, still struggling? Yes. But there is a desire birthed in my heart today to please Him. I want to do what makes my Savior happy. I want my Heavenly Father who blesses me and loves me. I want Him to be pleased. And so I want to do His will. And so we manifest that we're the people of God. We show forth the praises of Him by a principle, that is submission to the will of God. We also manifest by a practice. In verse 16, we are the servants of the Lord. We serve Him. We are available to do that will of God. We have offered ourselves in whatever way God seeks to use us. Before I got saved, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. That consumed your life and mine. That's all we cared about. But something happened to me when I called upon Christ to save my soul. I had a desire to do what He wanted me to do. I had a desire to be involved in helping others, lifting up Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel, praying for others, wanting others to come with me to the house of God, wanting others to know the Savior, and wanted to reach out with the love of God to others and show them the way. And so, listen, we manifest by principle and by practice because we are servants of the Lord. And so, God changed my thought process. God changed my language in that. Listen, when I reference what I'm going to do and what my plans are, I always include a clause in there. That is, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. And so, listen, when I tell people that we're going to do something, maybe on Tuesday, I'll preference it in my heart. If I don't say it with my lips, it's in my heart, in my mind, if the Lord will. You know why? Because I know what it's like to live apart from His will. That's not what I desire. There are things that God lets me do and God lets me enjoy, but I want to make sure it's okay with Him. Because I am not my own, I'm not the Lord, I'm not the Master, I'm not the King of my life. I gave that to Jesus. I surrendered that to Him. I did run it, I ran it in the ground. I'm asking Him to run it, and so now I always desire to know what is His will for me to do. I do not want to be presumptuous, head out on my own, realizing that I will mess up, that I will fall and make a fool of myself if I don't have the leadership of my Master, my Lord, and my King. And so now we preference everything in the will of God. And so we show forth His praise by principle. We're submission to the will of God. We manifest it by practice. We're servants of the Lord. We manifest it also by patience. And you notice in our scripture, the Bible said, and we studied last time, that great paradox of doing well and suffering. Those two things in the natural mind doesn't go together. Inconceivable. We looked at it last time of how in the world can well-doing and suffering go together. We understand the nature of the world and why it is. Because of the persecution of that which is good. And we understand here that we will do well because of this great salvation of God, this great experience of being born again, God changing us, we have a desire to do well. But here's what the Bible says, when you do well in the earth, in the world, you will suffer. You will. That is the nature of the world. Listen, it will not fully accept the doing of good. It puts a limit on it. And listen, we find that Jesus Christ, the great example. The Bible described His ministry. He went about doing good. What did they do to Him? Crucified Him. You know why they crucified Him? Because He was good. And so, in this world, in the context of a sinful world, the Bible tells us this world is in darkness. The Bible tells us it's under the rule and leadership of the prince of this world, the god of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And there is darkness, there is deception in this world. And when you do the kind of good that God does, it is not accepted in the world. So you will suffer because of it. But look what He says. We manifest His glory. We show forth His praises. We testify that we're the people of God by patience. That patience is that we accept it patiently. That is, listen, we do not get upset. We do not revert back to the old way. We do not meet that persecution, that violence, that injustice with the works of the flesh, that is vengeance and retaliation. But we accept it as the purpose of God for our life. We accept it because it will bring glory and honor to the Savior. And so, listen, not only by a principle of submission to the will of God, by practice being the servants of the Lord, by patience doing well even when persecuted. That patience simply means this, that I'm going to do well, and even though, listen, it will get me in trouble, I'm not going to let the world stop me from doing well. I'm just going to keep doing it. And listen, they may laugh at you, mock you, slander you, criticize you, threaten you, or kill you, but I am just going to keep on doing well. And so, listen, though your neighbor hates you, you're still going to do well. Right? Though he cursed you, you're still going to do well. Though he slandered you and said bad things about you, you know what? You're still going to love him and do well. And listen, he may despise me. He may, listen, have done things to hurt me. But if I find out he's in the hospital, I'm going to see him anyhow because I have it in my heart to do well. God put it there. And so with patience, we accept it and we continue to do well. Why? Because that reveals the glory of our Savior. It's not me, it's Him. I couldn't do that apart from Him. I listen, you know the me, if you hate me, I'd hate you. That's the me part. If you hit me in the face, I'll hit you back. That's the me part. Okay? You say something ugly to me, I'll say something ugly about you. That's the me part. But guess what? Thank God I was born again. Thank God Christ came to live in me. And I beat back that old flesh so that the Spirit of Christ lives His life in me. And so, listen, now I want to testify of His excellencies because He gave us an example. Listen, when they plucked the beard from His face and took that cat of nine tails and opened up the furrows across His back, and when they spit in His face, and when they took Him to the cross, and when they nailed Him to that cross, He did not revile. He did not judge them. He was Almighty God. He could have destroyed them all instantly. But listen, He surrendered Himself and submitted Himself because it was only through that suffering could He save the sinner. It was the only way He could reveal the man's sin and only reveal the goodness of God. And Calvary speaks of a love beyond understanding, that God would die for those who smote Him, that God would die for those who plucked the beard from His face, that God would die for those who drove those spikes in His hand, that God would die for the one who spit in His face. That was the excellence, the glory of the love of God. And so listen, we are given an example that, listen, it is your goodness that brings conviction to the sinner because it exposes how evil they really are. The cross of Calvary brings conviction to the world because deep in the conscience of man, Pilate said, he's done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong, but you have called for his death. And listen, you've called not only for his death, you called for his torture. For the cross was a tortured death. It was a slow suffering death. You wanted him tortured. And Pilate kept questioning concerning why such a verdict upon a man that there has been no evidence overall. And he desired to wash his hands, but he couldn't get off his hands either because he did have the power. He had the power to stop it, but it would have cost him financially, politically. It would have cost him prestige and power. And so he's just as guilty. Just as guilty. For he surrendered Jesus for another reason. And so we look here, and listen, the Bible says that we are called of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are called to faith in Christ. In Romans 1:4, the Bible said, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that Jesus called me. You know why? Because when I was living for myself, I didn't call Him. Okay? I didn't call Him. I didn't want to talk to Him. I wanted to avoid Him. I want to avoid Him like the plague. And you know what I'm talking about. If you remember your lost condition, and somebody come talk to you about Jesus, my goodness, please get me out of this place. The last thing I wanted to hear about. I did not call Him. You know what He did? He called me. I was sitting in a church one day, and listen, you know what? In my soul, listen, that voice of God saying, that preacher's talking to you. God is calling you. He knows your story. He knows your heart. He knows your need. This whole message was designed for you. And listen, I knew it. And you know what? The phone was ringing and nobody else is going to answer it. And I knew there it was. I mean, it's for you. It's for you. That's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Listen, how when the gospel call, when the invitation
Hey, listen, I look around. Can nobody hear this phone but me? How no one hears the phone? Hey, listen, somebody answer it. I have to answer it. And I did, thank God. I came and asked Christ to save my soul. I didn't know it. I came back rejoicing twice-fold because I didn't know my brother had went. We went down two different sets of the aisles and we got back to see it together. And both of us gone the same night and asked Jesus Christ to save us. That same night. I thought about later. Listen, phone call for him too. I'm glad he answered it. You see what? You are called by Jesus Christ. Don't think for a moment you just pick up the phone whenever you want to. No, listen. God, when God calls you, then today is the day of salvation. When you know God's dealing with your heart and God has brought this to your soul, God has disturbed you and made it personal, then, my friend, answer the phone and come. Listen, we are called of Jesus Christ, the Bible said. And listen, now that I've been called to faith in Christ, I believe in Him. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He's the Savior. I believe there's no other way of salvation. I believe forgiveness of sin is only found in Him. I believe He is the Christ, the Anointed of God. He's the Messiah. I believe He's the coming King. I believe He's the Lord. I believe He's holy. I believe He's everything the Bible says about Him. I have been called by Him, and now we seek to glorify Him. Then secondly, we are also called the children of God. The children of God. You know what that means? That means I was called unto Him for a change of nature, Brother Dwight. A change of nature. The Bible said salvation is more than just a prayer. Salvation is a miracle of God. The Bible says you are born again. You know what that is? That's new life. That is a new creature. The Bible tells us that, listen, when you call upon Christ and answer that call unto Him, that God does a work in you whereby you become partakers of the divine nature. You know what that means? Not only did God save you and wash away your sins, He came in because you invited Him. And that's exactly what He did. He came in to live in your life. And the Bible said we have become new creatures. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are saved. We are born again. In Romans 9 it says this, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He hath before prepared unto glory. I like that. He said He's making known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy. You're the vessel of mercy. And the Bible says, whom He hath before prepared unto glory. God called you and He is preparing you one day for His own glory to present you unto Himself as a finished work of His grace. The Bible said, even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As also, saith also in Hosea, I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which was not My beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not My people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. Oh, listen, that is your calling. God has called you unto Jesus Christ that He might birth you into His family, and you are called to be the very children of God. That children aspect is a manifest of the nature of our Father. That is a new nature. Listen, I was called into Christ that I might be saved and born again. I was called unto Christ, listen, that He might impart to me the divine nature, that I might be changed, that I might be able to manifest the power of God in this vessel of mercy. And so, you and I, we find thirdly, we are called to glory. We are called to glory. Verse 20 of our text said, what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults? There's no glory in that. If you take it patiently and you suffer because you did wrong, God said there's nothing to glorify that. There's no glory. There's no thanks. There's no acceptance. There's no reward for you taking patiently when you suffer because you did something wrong. He said, what glory is it? But notice the inverse of that. The inverse of that is this. He said, listen, if you suffer for well-doing, then it's acceptable with God. That is, there is a glory to it. God is glorified in your life when you have suffered because you did well. God is glorified in that. There is glory given to Christ when you suffer for doing good. And so the Bible says here that we are called to show forth His glory, the praises of Him, His excellencies. And listen, that is manifest through suffering. You know why? Because nobody wants to suffer. And if I'm going to suffer, it has to be for a good reason. It has to be for a good cause. Right? I'm not going to endure suffering for nothing. We are giving testimony that Christ and all that's promised to us is worth it all. And we are willing to endure whatever because we have a hope that God has given us that, listen, it shall be worth it all when we see Jesus. And we're not backing up, not turn away from our reward, not turn away from His acceptance, not turn away from the crowns that He will give, not turn away from the glory He has. We're willing to endure it because He is worth it all. And so we are glorifying Him, showing how precious and valuable is the Son of God to us. And listen, how precious is His promise made to us. For even when we suffer, we will continue to live for Him. The Bible says right here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He has called you unto glory. After a while of difficulty, struggles, trials, hardships, you and I will become strengthened and settled and one day glorified. Listen, all by the great purposes of Jesus Christ. And so listen, beloved, you and I are called unto glory. His glory was manifest by suffering for doing well. He did the will of God. He suffered for it. But look at the end result. The Bible says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return to the bishop, shepherd of your soul." Listen, thank God I'm saved tonight because Jesus suffered. Thank God I have hope tonight because Jesus suffered. Thank God tonight I have blessed assurance because Jesus suffered. I thank God, listen, that we have this hope within us because Jesus suffered. Listen, it was through that suffering that He was able to do good. The Bible says, verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called." You were called to do well. You were called to manifest His glory. And when you do that, understand, there will be persecution. There will be suffering. But Christ left us an example that we should follow His steps. Christ's steps did not end at the cross. Thank God they came out of the grave. And then we see His steps became a lot lighter after being risen from the grave in that glorified body. And His steps led on to the right hand of God the Father, to be in eternal glory forever with Him. We are to follow the great example, and that is this. Listen, there may be suffering, but thank God, listen, there's going to be glory awaiting the child of God. That before there can be a crown, there has to be a cross. And we find the Bible says that we must take up the cross and follow Him. We have to follow in His steps. If we do not take up the cross, Jesus said, "Ye cannot be My disciple." If you don't take up the cross, you cannot be My disciple. And listen, as you and I take up the cross is not the trial of life, the trial of living. It's the trial that comes from living for God. It's the persecution that comes for doing right in the sight of God. And He said, listen, you're going to be tested, you're going to be tried. Listen, as we walk through this life, we follow His steps, and we know that if we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. The Bible says, "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." The light of Christ shines brightest in the darkest hours. The light of Christ shines brightest.
When you think of Daniel, what do you think of? I think Daniel, a man of God. A man in whom God dwelled. How do you know that? Because of the persecutions he went through and how he stood for God. And even though thrown to the lions, then he wouldn't back up from doing well. Amen? And God had a surprise for all of them when Daniel came out. I hope Daniel had a little sarcastic humor like some of the Bible characters did. I hope he had pet names for him. Wouldn't that be a blessing? You know, see you next time, Curly. I mean, something, you know, just have a name for him. There are several Bible characters who use sarcastic humor. I hope Daniel had a name for them lions, you know. But God had a surprise for him. You saw God in Daniel. Why? Because you saw the light shine in the darkest hour. It's in that context that the light shines bright. That's the reason God permits us to go through this persecution. Because when you find yourself in the battle, and it hurts to be falsely accused, it hurts to be lied about, it hurts, listen, to be attacked, it hurts to be gossiped about. But you know, all that's designed to do is to get you to quit. And listen, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you will quit. You'll be a quitter. Somebody hollers boo, you're going to say, I quit. That's the truth. Somebody laughs at you at work, you say, well, I'll never talk about this again. I'm going to tell you something. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're going to talk about it again, 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 again. Amen? It manifests the fact that Jesus is present, and it magnifies and shows His glory, His excellence. And so God wants the light shine. Why? For me to suffer? No. But it's through that that other men are convicted. It's through that testimony that other men see Christ. And they see that salvation's real. And they see that the gospel record has testimony. They see a people, listen, who've been changed. A people who have conviction, a people that have resolve, people who've obviously, they're not telling a lie. Now listen, they're not living an imaginary world. Why? Because they're suffering for it. They're going through hardship for it. And they keep going and keep going. It must be the real thing. And thank God it is. And we testify that Christ is real and salvation's real and heaven's real and fellowship with Him is real and the power of God is real and the presence of God is real. And that light shines brightest when we are put to the test. That's why God permits you to go through it. Because in the end, if it brings a lost soul to Jesus and becomes a brother in Christ, oh, listen, wasn't it worth it all? Worth it all to endure some hardship. There are many a person who was persecuted by others, but that persecution turned one day to an inquiry and then to a saved soul who trusted Christ. Oh, listen, I think about Stephen, the first martyr. You know the story. Stephen was doing well. He was simply telling folk the truth that Jesus saved. And he was telling, listen, there's no hope, no salvation in this form of religion of good works. It's not going to save you. And he was pointing them to Christ and to Calvary, that God loved them and Jesus died for them. And they could know, listen, a forgiveness of sins, that they could be restored, that they could have a relationship with God, they could have the possession of eternal life. He was telling them the good news. And you know what happened? Stoned him to death. But you remember what happened on the death scene? The Bible said as they were stoning him, what happened? He looked up. God opened up that veil and allowed him with spiritual eyes to see. Jesus stood at the right hand of the Father rather than being seated. And Stephen's face began to glow. And his countenance was filled with joy and hope. And there was a man standing there who witnessed it all, who is actually in authority on the scene. And they brought over the clothes and laid it at His feet. His name was Saul. Jesus met Saul on the Damascus Road. And He said this, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." I believe with all my soul what pricked him is he saw the glory of Christ in that man's face as they were taking his life away. That conviction came upon him. You know the story, don't you? He's the Apostle Paul. For Jesus saved him. That conviction was born. Why? Because Stephen showed the glory and the excellencies of Christ in the darkest of hours. And it worked on that man's heart that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Christ, and the Savior. Can God count on you to be true to your calling? My calling in life is to show forth the praises of Him who called me from darkness to light. Are you true to that call? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. Thank You, Lord, for the great news, the gospel of God's salvation.